Welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it's one of our monthly trailer roundup episodes. Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year is here with us, and we're going to take a look at a bunch of movies coming out in April and try to figure out what might have inspired them just based off the trailers, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll end up doing full episodes on some of these movies as the month continues. I want to thank you all for an amazing March. March was just an awesome month of new listeners, a lot of feedback, and thank you. Keep listening. Make sure you are subscribed wherever it is that you're listening. And if you're enjoying the show, rate us 5 stars over on Apple Podcasts, Good Pod, Spotify, wherever it is that you're listening. It's greatly appreciated when you do that. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And before we get into the conversation about some of these April movies, I always love to read some listener puzzle pieces for some of the episodes we did in March. And I got a bunch this month. Jeez. Let's see. I'm going to try to get through all of these before we get to the main conversation. Starting off with our live show on Imaginary, Josh Gilstrap from Your Next Favorite Movie podcast mentioned The Pit, which I've never seen that, but I was looking it up, and it looks kind of great, actually. So I might have to check that one out. And Pete Abeda from Middle Class Film Class mentioned Mama, which is one that I was thinking about for that, along with all the other puzzle pieces we brought up. Mama is something that was on my mind, but great one there too, Pete. For Poor Things, Josie DeMarco, who was the guest on that episode, actually wrote me after the fact and said she wanted to add to the list. So we got a couple more from Josie. The Good Fairy and Sophie's Place, which both of those are movies that I have not seen, and I'm going to have to go look them up and see what they are all about. But Josie's pieces are always great, so I'm sure that those would be really good fits. And you know what? Since Josie is sending in her own listener puzzle pieces, even though she was on the episode, I'll throw in a couple of puzzle pieces I was thinking about including, but didn't because of time. We were already running pretty long on that episode. I was going to include Metropolis and The City of Lost Children, which are both very visual movies with very well-drawn worlds that are just amazing to look at. Like, despite anything else, plot, character, just looking at those worlds are just wild. So I was going to bring up both of those. So a couple of producer, host pieces, whatever you want to call that. Anyway, next up is Ricky Stanicki, which Chauncey Talese from LA Podfidential mentioned Beetlejuice, which I love that because that Ricky Stanicki character is just, oh my God, just havoc, mayhem whenever he shows up. So I think that's a great one to include here. For Immaculate, Pete Abeda again wrote in, and he said The Rite. I believe that was Anthony Hopkins, if I'm not mistaken, a religious horror movie. I haven't seen that one. Overlord, which I love that movie, and I could definitely see that with the whole science experiments in the underground bunker. That's great. The Omen. I mean, of course, The Omen fits on this conversation. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again later this month with the first Omen, but he specifically pointed out the rooftop suicide, which absolutely. Fargo for a strong pregnant badass who is seemingly sweet and non-threatening. You know, Marge Gunderson is one of the best characters ever, so sure, let's throw that in there. And then I love this, A Quiet Place and Die Hard for the foot trauma. You know, foot trauma is very hard to look away from. So yeah, let's include those. Also, at Shandathran on Twitter sent in a bunch of stuff for Immaculate. Kill Bill, Jurassic Park, which I did include on the episode. The Favorite, The Descent, The Grateful Dead, and Seinfeld. I wish he had mentioned why Seinfeld. I want to hear that. But a bunch of those other ones, though, were things that I either had in mind or definitely like had thought about, but all great ones. So thank you for writing in with those. And With that said, you know, if you are listening to an episode of Piecing It Together and you have some puzzle pieces you want to send in, please do. You could do it on social media at Piecing Pod. You could do it in our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group. You could do it by email through our website, piecingpod.com, or you can do it right there on Good Pods if that's where you're listening, right on the episode. You can comment. I love hearing from you. So thanks, everybody, for sending those in. Let's get to some April trailers. Jason Harris is back with us for another month of trailers. April Fool's Day is today, Jason. How about that?
Hey, I like April Fool's Day. It's my grandfather's birthday, and he was a comedian, so it was appropriate. I'm a big fan of that. And as is every month, we'll get some movies where they feel like they're pranking us.
Yes, absolutely. Let's take a quick look back at the month of March before we get into this month's trailers. Last month on our trailer roundup, we talked about Spaceman, which I did watch. Did you watch that one?
I was excited for it, and then everyone just said it's terrible, so I didn't bother with it.
I mean, I thought it was all right. I definitely don't think it's terrible, and I've seen the wide gamut of responses to it. Some people really loved it. I came in the middle. It's interesting. It's good. It's a lot like Ad Astra, but you know, it is what it is.
Where do you put Spaceman as a killer song in the killer's canon?
Probably middle to lower end.
Second tier, probably.
Yeah. You know. Next up was Ricky Stenicki, which I loved. You liked, and I know you wanted to be a guest on that episode, Jason, but we did do an episode I did with somebody else. So
no, and that's fine. What is offensive is that you literally went to Twitter and was like, hey, has anyone watched this movie? I need someone to do this. And you know, I've already watched it. Like, is there anyone who's not a bum out there who has anything of value to say?
To be fair, I hadn't seen your Letterboxd review at the time that I tweeted that, but then I did, and I saw, and I still waited for people to respond. So
it's all good, man. Yeah. I thought, first of all, John Cena is doing great. He's got a good trajectory. It feels like he's kind of split the difference between what The Rock and Batista are doing, you know, so he's not really going all in one way or the other. But I think this is like the next step for him as a comedic performer. That said, and I like this movie, very throwback, but I even felt when you heard the concept, sometimes as a writer, you're like, oh man, I'm worried they're going to write themselves into a corner and not be able to get out of it. And that's exactly what happened. Act three is terrible in this movie.
It's certainly the weakest part of the movie. I'll give you that. But I still had such a fun time. It's just so funny. And, you know, we need funny movies like that. So yeah, I loved it.
I'm happy with that.
So. Yeah. Next up was Damsel, which I didn't watch, but I did hear my dad watching at Wax Track. So that kind of counts. It sounded fun, I guess.
Did he have his clothes on at the time?
he kept saying, she's going to be a star. So.
Yeah. Thanks. That's good. A prediction 7 years ago.
Did you watch that one?
No, I didn't like the preview. I didn't like it. But now that I know Rich Rosen has approved of Billy Bobby Brown's performance, maybe I'll have to go watch it.
There you go.
But don't we have something new from them this month too, right? The Damsel people? Is that this month? Maybe?
Ooh, I don't know. Is one of these by the same filmmakers?
I feel like it, but what do I know?
They, I don't know, Netflix funds a lot of the same people over and over again, so it's certainly possible. But next up is the American Society of Magical Negroes, which everybody who has seen hated. I did not see it. Did you?
Nope.
Yeah, so I probably made the right choice skipping that one. Arthur the King, with our beloved Las Vegas superstar Marky Mark, was next. I did not see it. I don't know. I'm sure it's fun for what it is.
How did you not see it? It's about a dog who goes on a race.
Exactly. Like,
that's for you.
I love dogs, and shout out to the Pup Pups Variety Snaps, which comes out this month on April 11th, National Pet Day. But didn't get to this one. Maybe I'll watch it with my dad one of these days. He'd love it too, I'm sure.
Do you think he's gonna watch, and when he sees Arthur the dog, he's gonna be, that dog's gonna be a star.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
the next Benji.
Where'd they find this dog? Next up was Roadhouse, which I loved. I know you hated. So,
well, first of all, I listened to your episode with you and that human bag of pudding Joe Black over there. And you guys are just all over the place over here with this, with your explanations of why it was good. And it's like you're contradicting yourself in all of your, you know, reasons. If I listen to it again, I feel like I could do like a reaction video that no one would ever want to hear or listen to. But
you should start your own like YouTube podcast of you just taking down my episodes of piecing it together.
What, tell me about Conor McGregor, Dave. Did you like Conor McGregor?
A straight up Looney Tunes cartoon character from every frame he is on screen. He's amazing.
No, it's possibly the worst performance of the century is where I would rank that. Jessica Williams, who I do like, is totally wasted in this film, right? Yeah,
it's about the dudes, you know.
Okay, what is her reasoning? Like, oh, yeah. I'm going to bring you in, but not tell you why I'm going to bring you in. And then here's the secret. That's not even a secret. It's just like, I want to keep my bar. Also, you know, you guys are referencing the original, which is an amazing film, right? I love the original. Mm-hmm. But in this one, they like even rip a beat off of it where, you know, Dalton goes see that guy over there. He's got a knife under his belt or whatever. Yeah. Now I understand how Dalton Patrick Swayze knows that because he's a professional cooler bouncer who's lived the bar life. Tell me why an MMA fighter would know that, Dave.
Because he's just a really badass dude. That's why.
Okay.
All right. I won. Checkmate.
Okay, I got more here. So, you know.
We'll save it for that that follow-up pod we're gonna do. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Also, you know, losing. You know, Sam, you're not bringing in a Sam Elliott character? Come on.
That I agree. Sam Elliott, that character is so good in the original. They should have had somebody. Who could really step into those shoes, though? You can't replace Sam Elliott. Maybe just get Sam Elliott, really.
That would be perfect. That would have been great. Look, the fights were good. Gyllenhaal's fun. I think everything else is really lacking, except for that one bad guy who tries to be his friend all the time.
Yeah.
So, and I know you like Billy Magnussen, but I was not a fan of that performance.
So. I liked him. Yeah, I liked him. Sleeping Dogs was the next movie we talked about, which I think was that the Russell Crowe one. I barely even remember what that is.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, no. Russell Crowe. He's got 17 movies a month now.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Maybe one of these days I'll watch it. Next up was Immaculate, which I actually saw twice and I loved. It was so good. One of my favorites of the year so far. Did you see it?
I would love to see it. Why did you see it twice? Do you have a thing for nuns?
I do. Absolutely. No, I went to see it early because I was going to be doing an episode on it, which it's actually today's episode at the time of recording. But Gina really wanted to see it too. So then I went back and saw it with her the second time. And I liked it even more the second time, honestly. It's great.
Back to Roadhouse, though. Spill this tea. Tell me what happened at the live recording last night.
Well, everybody will hear that on the podcast. But all right, we'll go on to our next one. It is Late Night with the Devil. I'll actually be recording an episode tomorrow at the time of this recording. It's a good one. Of course, a lot of the conversation around that is the whole AI thing, which is kind of unavoidable. But
what did they do with AI? I didn't get to see it. But what did they do with AI in this one?
So literally all they did, you know, it's set on like, you know, a late night talk show in the 70s. And like, there's these interstitial images, like when they're coming back from commercial, there's three of them. Okay. And those three still images were made by AI. Now there's a few like little extra aspects to this conversation. First of all, they shot this and made those images like 2 years ago when nobody was like worried AI is taking everybody's jobs. Second of all, it's literally three still images. It's not like AI created, you know, entire scenes, the entire movie, whatever. But there's that question of give an inch, take a mile. If we accept them doing this much, you know, are they going to start doing more and more and more? And so that's why it's become a big thing.
They will do more and more and more.
Yeah. So. And I think personally, it's unavoidable. And, you know, I don't like it necessarily, but, you know, what are you going to do? That's where we're at. But
it's going to keep happening. So
great movie. Watch it anyway. Cool. Dog Man is not out yet. I think it comes out this weekend. I'm very excited to see it.
Dog Man.
Yeah, that's the Caleb Landry Jones weird looking one.
Yeah,
Luc Besson. You'll Never Find Me. I don't remember what that was. So we'll skip over that one. The Wages of Fear remake, that's this weekend as well.
That comes out today.
Yeah.
Right? We're all excited for that.
Yeah, for sure. And then Lousy Carter, which, as you know, I'm super excited for. Bob Byington, I love his directorial style. And that is this weekend, too. So we've got some stuff to catch up on. But yeah, that brings us to April. Let's start getting into some of these trailers, starting with Someone Like You, which will be out in theaters April 2nd. I was going to cut this one from our list until I started watching the trailer, and it just kind of blew me away how insane this premise is. I believe this guy, he's in love with this girl, and then she dies, and then finds out she has a secret twin sister, and he's going to now try to date her. Is that what you got out of this trailer?
Yeah, or at least meet her, right?
Okay.
And then she, you know, has to, you know, and she, because she wants to meet her real parents, the mom who birthed both her and the dead lady. I guess it's, I mean, when I saw it said, like, I forget the author's name, but like Kathleen Smith. Productions,
sure.
Right? So it must be a popular book or something like that.
Yeah, so. It is. It's a best-selling novel. And when I was watching this trailer, my mouth was kind of open, like how they would make a movie like this nowadays. It just seems so toxic. I don't know.
And stealing the title Someone Like You from the classic Ashley Judd, Greg Kinnear vehicle, Dave.
Ooh, yeah, like that's true. That's true.
So here are my pieces, Dave, and I think you're really going to like what I did here, Dave. Obviously, someone who wants to find their real parents. You go back to The Jerk, Steve Martin on that road trip. And also, by the way, that new Steve Martin documentary comes out this week, so I'm excited for that. Someone who feels a terrible loss. I went with Manchester by the Sea. Mm. And Dave, get ready for it. So this woman dies, and the guy is sad, and you need someone to help him with that sadness. And then the person's like, hey, I got someone who might be able to help you with the sadness. You know what it reminded me of, Dave?
Hmm.
When the dead wife sends John Wick a dog.
Oh, you're on your John Wick finally watching marathon, huh?
I told you I was going to watch John Wick.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and now it's my puzzle piece, Dave.
There you go. Always got to bring John Wick in every month. So I'm glad it's you, and I'm glad you're finally watching those movies. I threw in What Women Want, as far as like a fucked up rom-com where the guy, you know, has some kind of information on this girl ahead of time and, you know, just kind of manipulates the situation. So I threw that in there. And then also I, Origins, the Britt Marlin movie, where there's like a perfect match out there that's like exactly the same person, but not. And it's like weird. I haven't seen it in a while. I forget exactly what happened.
I don't know that Britt Marlin movie, because I always think of Another Earth, where there's all the kind of
that one too,
replicants of what we know as people on this earth.
I, Origins is a weird one too. She didn't write or direct that one. She's just in it, but it definitely has her kind of feel to it. And yeah, I don't know if I'll actually watch this movie, but
John Wick, Dave.
John Wick rules. So, you know, I wonder if we'll get John Wick in any of these other. Oh, I think we will. But first, we've got The First Omen, April 5th in theaters. So usually these kinds of legacy prequels, especially to horror movies, look pretty bad. But this trailer, I think, is excellent. It's one of my favorite trailers of the year so far. I'm planning this weekend, actually, on doing a little rewatch marathon of the first three Omen movies. What do you think about this trailer?
I mean, Dave, nuns are hot right now.
They
Catholic
sure are.
And, you know, Catholicism and mysticism, you know, religiosity, all that stuff is all over the place right now. This is the first time I'm ever going to use an actor as a piece, but I really thought of Shelley Duvall as when I'm watching this, because that woman and her fear on her face really brought back Shelley Duvall in The Shining to me, you know. Very reminiscent of that. So
I can see that.
Yeah, and then I think you go with like the, you know, quote unquote bad seed spawn of Satan movies, Rosemary's Baby, The Good Son, and you know, a younger person possessed. I put The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which is a great movie, but also John Wick,
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's really cool lighting and stuff, you know, I could see. Yeah, I of course had Rosemary's Baby on my list. The other thing I put on my list, and I don't know if this extends past the trailer or if it's just a cool effect for the trailer, but all of this being in reverse essentially in the trailer, I was thinking of Irreversible, the Gaspar Noé film. I don't know if we're going to see more like weirdness in this movie, but
are you saying this movie goes chronologically backwards?
Is that I don't know, but the trailer sure does. So
then you could use that Seinfeld episode where they go to Sewell and Mishki's wedding in India.
Hell yeah. There you go. So let's go on to Monkey Man, which will be in theaters April 5th.
Sign me up. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, it's so good.
Why aren't we doing
good.
A live one on this? Come on,
we really
let's
should
do it right now. Yeah,
I might have to make some calls. But Dev Patel's directorial debut about a legendary fighter who takes on the mega rich who are widening the economic gap, I guess. Is that what you got out of this? That's what the plan is?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we know Jordan Peele is... kind of the producer on this one, or exec producer. All the word on the street is that this kicked ass, like the movie kicks ass at South by Southwest. Mm. But yeah, he comes from, you know, he's in India. They still have that kind of caste system, and he's in a lower class, and he has to fight the upper class pretty much, right? And,
yeah.
But there is a kind of mythological kind of the Monkey Man's myth is he like the reincarnation of it, or how does that work, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I got an awesome puzzle piece that you've never heard of. It was an article and a podcast from the New York Times called The Jungle Prince of Delhi. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Slam dunk right over you.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's like one of these, because you know, in India there were all these like kingdoms and different leaders. And this one guy is living in kind of like the jungle or the forest outside of Delhi. And he claims lineage of royalty for hundreds and hundreds of years. And like they somewhat recognize that maybe that is, but also like, no, this is just a guy who's like doesn't really fit in society nowadays.
I think I do remember hearing about this. Yeah, the way you're describing it.
But there are people who worship this guy. It's incredible. I would recommend that podcast quite a bit. So that kind of feeling came up here. And then, you know, with Dev Patel and kind of the class system in India, you got to go to Slumdog Millionaire right there, right?
Sure.
And then I also like, I like the mythological element, and that took me to Ghost Dog.
Oh, well, yeah, I like that. I like Ghost Dog as a piece here. That's fun. And yeah, Slumdog Millionaire, I was thinking about, we just watched some John Woo for Awesome Movie Year. I was thinking about Hard Boiled, maybe, as far as just...
So good.
Yeah, just ultra violent, stylish cinematography, and just... Also, there's obviously going to be a lot of Asian cinema influence here. And then... John Wick. Yeah, of course. So, yeah. I think Dev himself actually said, like, you know, let's not just compare it to John Wick. But, I mean, you can't not compare it to John Wick.
Well, what I heard is this one has a lot less, it's a lot more hand-to-hand combat than, John Wick.
For sure. Well, next up is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which will be in theaters, very surprisingly. I thought would be a streamer. Yeah, it's at theaters. April 12th. It's a remake of the 90s Christina Applegate classic. I know we all hate remakes, but like, I don't know. This trailer made me laugh quite a few times. Did you like the trailer?
No.
No, not at all. Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, House Party. They just did House Party, right?
Yeah.
Kind of has that type of feel.
That's one of my pieces. I mean, obviously. But
yeah, I put Mary Poppins in there because the babysitter is trying to get them to tighten the ship, you know, stir, you know. And then the one daughter gets like the executive assistant job with actress extraordinaire Nicole Richie. And that reminded me of The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not?
This doesn't look good, Dave.
I mean, it doesn't look good, but I don't know. I thought it was a funny trailer. I thought June Squibb was really funny, all of her lines in it.
Yeah,
but, she's great. Yeah. She's got a movie coming up that looks like it's going to be really fun.
Nice, Dave, that this film is a BET Plus picture and you point out the old white lady in it.
She says hip-hop ruined the blacks. the other piece I thought of was Neighbors, as far as people, you know, kind of bringing back the House Party spirit. You know, we already name checked the actual House Party movie, but neighbors, that comedy, as far as, you know, bringing back parties for the post-COVID world. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see on that one. Next up is our first of two spider-based movies coming out this month for some reason. It's called Sting. It is in theaters April 12th. It's about this person who has a pet spider. It just keeps growing bigger and bigger and really looks creepy as shit. But also, from what I understand, is supposed to be more of like a horror comedy.
Ah, okay. So it has nothing to do with Sting's last match in AEW that recently took place.
Should have saw that coming. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Arachnophobia is the obvious choice here, right?
Yep.
But then I also thought of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids because of the sequence where they're shrunk and then they're riding on the bee and the bee is bigger than them.
Sure. So, yeah.
And I'm going to throw in The Gray here because that's a good one of a man who has to fight an animal. And I haven't seen John Wick 3 and 4 yet, but unless he fights an animal, I'm not going to use John Wick as a piece on this one.
Yeah, this one is probably the least that you could fit John Wick into of all these movies this month. But for your Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, I'll go Ant-Man. Same basic premise there. Arachnophobia, obviously. And then I also threw in Rampage, the video game adaptation, because The Rock's pet gorilla starts growing and growing, and he, as much as he wants to protect him, he also has to stop it from killing at the same time. And so it seems like that's kind of the dynamic between this little girl and her spider Sting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good piece because you could also like Planet of the Apes this thing or whatever.
Sure, know? Sure. So next up is our Nicolas Cage movie of the month. We've got Arcadian, which will be a limited release on April 12th. It's a post-apocalyptic world where him and his son have to survive against some kind of creatures. Honestly, I didn't think this one looked that good, but I did want to include it because of the Cage aspect. So you never know with a Nicolas Cage movie.
I think it's Nicolas Cage, and I think there are two kids in this. But
is it two? Yeah.
I think there's a son and a daughter, but I don't know. So I mean, it's all the ones we always, The Last of Us, it's this post-apocalyptic thing. You mentioned Britt Marling. There's a whole kind of environmental aspect to this, right? Like, because they go, these are the ones who survived after the pollution and they want to get rid of us. So I put The East in there, her eco-terrorism movie. Sure. You know, you pick any post-apocalyptic thing you want, The Road. And of course, you got to go A Quiet Place on this one, right?
Yeah, those last two were the pieces I wrote down, The Road and A Quiet Place. I think A Quiet Place is what it looks the most like. And, you know, they're going to be finding out some way to outsmart these creatures or whatever they are. So, yeah, I don't know that it looks great, but, you know, Nicolas Cage, we're always excited to see what he does.
He's back in Hollywood now.
Yeah.
I present Oscars.
he was great on the Oscars last
month. But yeah, Dave, what you mentioned John Woo, you and I both rewatched Face Off and
yeah.
Come on.
One of the best.
Caster Troy.
One of the best performances ever, honestly. But
both of them. Travolta's awesome in that too.
So. Incredible. So next up is a weird one. It looks great though. Sasquatch Sunset will be in theaters April 19th. This is the Zellner Brothers, and it looks crazy. I know it premiered at Sundance and got a lot of raves out of there. It's basically just the lives of a family of Sasquatches out in their natural habitat. It looks ridiculous and
do they
unique.
Speak at all?
I don't think so. I think they grunt and kind of communicate in their grunts, but I don't think they speak.
The Zellner Brothers are on a hot streak right now because of their work in The Curse, I'd say. Mm. And here's a fun fact, Dave. Back in the day, I was in a short film by Tom Bart called The Mark that played at Sundance, and we were paired with the Zellner Brothers Goliath. So
nice.
I remember going up there and they showed our short, and then we watched the Zellner Brothers movie.
Right on. I still really want to see, is it Damsel?
That's what we talked about earlier, that they made Damsel or something. That doesn't seem like they would do
that. No, not that Damsel, though. They made I think it's the Zellner Brothers, made a Damsel with Robert Pattinson, a different movie.
Confusing. Too many damsels there. So that's
Robert Pattinson Damsel. Am I right about that? I just want to check. Yep. Zellner Brothers. Yeah, I've always wanted to watch that movie. It's a Western and it looked really interesting. Plus, it was like right square in that Robert Pattinson doing weird roles era, you know. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think? What do you have for pieces here?
Oh, yeah. I was excited. And also, Dave, you're going to love this one. I'm bringing all types of meat today. So the first one I thought of, obviously, Harry and the Hendersons.
Sure.
And then there was that kind of like Where the Wild Things Are, like they're living, you know, like it even says like no one's seen them until now, that type of thing where they're living off on their own. But Dave, here's why I was excited about this one. Last month, I think it was on last month's episode, I brought up a movie and you were like, are we ever going to get to use that movie as a piece? And this is the one, Charlie Kaufman, Michelle Gondry, Human Nature.
Oh my gosh. Sure. maybe I'm going to finally get my second viewing of Human Nature in before I watch Sasquatch Sunset. That would be fun to finally revisit. It's the only Charlie Kaufman film I've only seen once. Yeah, Where the Wild Things Are, though, that's a great one. That definitely feels like this. I will throw in the recent Planet of the Apes movies where there's very little dialogue. It's just the apes kind of living. And, you know, there's of course action and plot, but for long stretches, they are just communicating in their own way. Also, I was thinking of like just nature documentaries, maybe like throw a Werner Herzog one in there or something, but, you know, something where it's weird and offbeat and showing the world and showing this like weird slice of the world. And then lastly, last night we just did a live show on Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, and there are also, just like those recent Planet of the Apes movies, these long stretches of just nothing but these animals kind of communicating and living, and these creatures, and I want to see more stuff like that. I love it. It's super weird, and I'm here for it.
I think that's, you know, Denis Villeneuve is also kind of moving in that direction. What did you think of what did one you think, because you're a stand for that type of Kong and Godzilla stuff. What did you think of it? And what it was the reaction for most of the people last night?
Well, I'll answer the second one first, because it was split right down the middle. It was just too stupid for a lot of people. And, you know, I will admit full-heartedly, it is a very dumb, made for like 12-year-olds kind of movie. But I thought it was so much fun. It is just, I mean, Kong with a robot arm punching an evil ape in the face and, you know, doing suplexes, and the evil ape rides an ice Godzilla that he has under his control. I mean, it is stupid as hell, and I had a blast with it.
It's just tough for me to even consider that after Godzilla Minus One.
That's exactly what we talked about.
Right? I think I mentioned this to you when we covered the preview of it, because Godzilla Minus One looks so amazing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and this one didn't nearly look like that. And yeah. And also, yeah, that's what I thought. So
it's just two very different approaches to what a monster movie can be. And I don't think either one is wrong. I think they both can work. And I know some people would prefer that we move on from, you know, the goofiness of something like these movies. But yeah, that's that. Everybody can hear more about that on the episode.
I can't, you know, I already was on all the socials, and I hear there's some heated debates, some almost fisticuffs between your panel members.
You'll have to tune in and find out.
Human Bag of Pudding. Oh, God. and also a guy who's not allowed within 100 feet of a school zone. So I like them both. I'll act for both those guys. We're all friends. They can make fun of me too.
Absolutely. Next up is The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, April 19th in theaters. This is, of course, the new Guy Ritchie film. He gets to make an action movie every year, and this is no different. This stars Henry Golding, also Elsa Gonzalez, Cary Elwes, Henry Golding, a bunch of other people.
Henry Golding's in this twice?
Apparently.
You mentioned him twice in there.
Did I?
Okay. Yeah, that's why I said it.
Oh, Cavill.
I mean, this is what I want from Guy Ritchie, right?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
This looks super fun. You know, I don't. It's Guy Ritchie's, whether it's revisionist history or whether it's just his kind of history on the fringes, hyper realized or whatever it is. This looks like what you want from Guy Ritchie. You know, right. So were you talking about, you know, do you want to explain what it is, or did I jump on you for that one?
No, you're good. It's revisionist history of World War II, of like this team that has to be put together to fight Hitler, basically.
Right. So, you know, you first you go to Inglourious Basterds,
of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's so many, you know, I thought like something because of the action and this like team of like elite fighters or whatever, the Expendables. But then I went, you know, really kind of deeper. You know, I mean, there was this type of mission in the Kubrick debut film Fear and Desire. So I went there, Sisu, and then Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy because of the secret mission aspect of it.
Yeah, this movie a little goofier than Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Just a little, though.
John Le Carré did not have a rewrite on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course, Inglourious Basterds, I think, is the number one. Like, that's the first one you got to bring up here. The other thing I was going to bring up is The King's Man. That's the third Kingsman movie. You know, Matthew Vaughn and Guy Ritchie, they kind of have similar styles when it comes to this kind of action. But that one being set during World War II and being the full-on revisionist history. And that one actually, spoiler alert, it's been out for a couple of years, but there's like a post-credit scene where, if they're going to continue that, Hitler is literally going to be a character in that, the next one. So that series has gone off the deep end.
Is Hitler Argyle?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, Matthew Vaughn, we talked about what we don't know what he's doing, but as opposed to Guy Ritchie, who seems to be on a real, like, kind of like upswing right now, he's making like seven movies a year.
Yeah.
And they all seem to be doing well, whether we like them all or not, it doesn't really matter. But this one looks to me like the best one he's put out in a while.
Yeah, I actually agree on that one. Are we doing Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver, or are we just going to skip over that?
My pieces were a Donald Trump campaign, a Mitch McConnell speech, an illegal abortion clinic that doesn't treat people with health in mind.
All good pieces. I still haven't seen the first one. Maybe I'll watch them both. We'll see.
This feels like whatever derivative Star Wars ripoff you want, right?
Yeah. And I do like Zack Snyder for the most part, but these movies do not look good at all. And I would be shocked if I end up liking it. The first
one was not a success.
No.
I mean, I don't know, man. Yeah. I think it might be time for Snyder to do some director for hire work as opposed to...
That would be interesting. Yeah. And he definitely needs a new cinematographer. He used to have Larry Fong, I believe. But now he's shooting all his own movies and they just look awful. And I don't know. Snyder, do something better, please. Next up is Challengers in theaters April 26. Luca Guadagnino's latest film stars Zendaya as a tennis player who, after an injury, becomes a coach. And she is coaching these two guys, and there's kind of a love triangle between them. It looks interesting, and I've loved his other films.
And she's so good in Dune 2. Like, she's really kind of showing different skills. This is interesting because the tone feels so different than what we've seen from Luca recently, right? So,
yeah, it definitely feels different. And we're seeing a lot of, like, you know, sex and horniness in movies again the past year. So it's like, it's interesting to see these kind of things happening again.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, look. The first thing I thought of was another sexy tennis movie, an excellent tennis sexy movie, Match Point, the Woody Allen film.
Sure.
And then, like you said, there's this kind of three-way situation going on that's less of a love triangle at first and more of a three-way. And, you know, so I picked Two Girls and a Guy, the Robert Downey Jr., Heather Graham vehicle from back in the day.
Yeah, I wonder how that holds up. I haven't seen that in 20-plus years at least. But yeah, good one right there. I call me lazy, but I went from Match Point, which was my first one, to Vicky Cristina Barcelona as far as another, thruple situation, I guess. Getting a double dose of Woody Allen in there. So
I don't think that's lazy.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Let's get some more John Wick in here with our next movie. It's called Boy Kills World. It'll be in theaters April 26th. It stars Bill Skarsgård. It's this crazy over-the-top action movie where he's had his voice box removed, I believe, and so his voiceover is done by H. John Benjamin. It's produced by Sam Raimi. It looks absolutely ridiculous. Everybody I know who has seen this at festivals absolutely hated it.
Really?
Yeah, which is very surprising because it looks so fun. So I don't know what to think.
It does. I was going to say, it's this April, and this is like the fourth movie on our list that I'm really excited about, I'd say.
Yeah, me too.
That's a bummer. It definitely feels to me, I mean, first of all, there's that whole like kind of like, hey, we kill people to keep society going on a, you know, as an entertainment type thing. So there's that Hunger Games thing, right?
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah,
but really the ones that I, that, you know, tonally, this really felt like Kung Fury or Turbo Kid to me, both of which I love. Mm. And then there's a little Kick-Ass in there. Like, I was really excited for this. I'm bummed that you said everyone hates it.
Yeah, everybody hates it. I'm hopeful. I'm definitely going to be seeing it still. And you know me, I don't necessarily always go with the critics or anything like that. So we'll see if I end up liking it. A movie it reminded me of that I didn't like is Guns Akimbo, the Daniel Radcliffe kind of video game-like, over-the-top, silly action movie. But then also, I'm really hoping there's some like satirical elements to this. And I was thinking of stuff like, you know, RoboCop and Starship Troopers. Like, you know, it seems like in the midst of all of this insane, over-the-top, ultra-violence, there's going to be some societal, satirical elements to it. So I'm kind of hoping for some of that in there, too.
But Dave, you've seen Kung Fury and Turbo Kid, right?
I actually have never seen Turbo Kid. I saw Kung Fury. Yeah,
we should do a watch along.
I'd love to.
Along on this,
I'd love to. It's on my watch list. It's something I've definitely been
wanting to see.
Turbo Kid's
amazing. I think they're making a sequel like now or something.
I think you're right. I think I did.
Years later.
Yeah, I think I did hear something about that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that. Last up is our second Spider movie of the month. It's a Shudder original. It's called Infested. It'll be out on April 26th. And this one's more of a traditional, you know, a whole bunch of spiders take over a building kind of thing. But the reason I wanted to include this one on our list is because Sam Raimi saw this film and then decided to hire Sebastian Venicek, I believe his name is, the director of this, to direct the next Evil Dead movie. So now I absolutely have to see this, even though it looks creepy as shit and I don't like spiders.
You don't like spiders?
No. Not at all.
You got any other fears?
All bugs. I am scared of all bugs.
Are you scared of anything else?
I'm scared of the thought that there might be a person in my house.
Oh, yeah. Like Gina?
Yeah, Gina can be here. She's okay. Oh. But, although if I know Gina is like at the gym or something and she was to just happen to be here, that would not be okay.
You don't think you could defend yourself if there was someone right behind you right now, Dave. I don't like flying. That's my big thing.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of flying.
I've been developing a hatred of flying lately. It's not fear. Like, I don't know if you're scared of flying.
Oh, I am. Yeah. I like being places, but the aspect of getting to places is
it's terrible.
I don't like that. Yeah. But I am scared. I'm like a white knuckler. I would love to get over that because a lot of my work, you know, has opportunities to do it elsewhere. And I should take it up on that, but I don't. Instead, I just have robots fight in here.
Yeah,
in Las Vegas. I mean, look, like you said, it's another one of these. The spiders and all this stuff. So you know, the spiders. There's a movie called Spider-Man. You ever hear that one?
Oh,
you
know, Sam Raimi.
Yeah, got to bring back Willard again, which is nice. So, and then I thought they really were playing on the idea of like fear factor, but you know, but here I wanted to throw out one where, because like you said, it's the bugs take over the kind of dwelling where they live. How about the classic MTV vehicle, Joe's apartment?
Oh, disgusting. Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's definitely a good one. Both of the pieces I wrote down have Raimi connections, actually, are both produced by him. First one is Crawl, the crocodile attack movie, which is really tense. And I think that's probably the vibe this one's going for, is just like a super tense film. And then the other one, speaking of Evil Dead Rise, which takes the idea of, you know, deadites versus, you know, the idea of spiders here and just puts them confined into this one apartment building. So I feel like both of them kind of take a similar approach to something we've seen before and stuff like Arachnophobia. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing it specifically because of the director, but it's going to be disgusting. So
I got to say, it's April and there's a lot for us to look forward to. And I'm you know, tough in these shows to deal with. So I know that. So this is exciting for us to
do this. Absolutely. We do have a live show coming up April 18th on Abigail. That is going to be a fun one. I got my wife, Gina, is actually going to be one of the panelists, as well as a film student, Perry Markle, who's actually Gina's cousin, who's been wanting to do the show for a while. And then Nick Woods, a local filmmaker who does the Sin City Horror Club. They will be joining me for that one. We might be doing one, it hasn't been confirmed yet, on Civil War, the new Alex Garland film. What do you think about Civil War?
Bro, I'm excited for that. So yeah. I think it's going to be great. I think Kirsten Dunst is, I mean, is she underrated at this point?
I think
so. She kind of just does her own thing, right? But her and Clemens, and, you know, it seems like Garland's next movie is also playing in this arena type thing. So I think maybe that's the most exciting coming movie of this entire season. And if you don't put me on that panel, I'm going to fight all your panelists.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Jason, is there something you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, Dave. I mean, first of all, you mentioned Hard Boiled the other day. So I'm going to, earlier this episode.
This has been going on a while, this episode.
Yeah, I mean, Hard Boiled was really good. And then they had a cool Hal Hartley collection on Criterion. So I finally watched The Unbelievable Truth, and you could see, you know, a lot of the indie filmmakers that we grew up loving always mention like Hal Hartley stuff along with like the early Linklater stuff. So I really enjoyed that film, and, you know, I think you guys should check it out.
Hal Hartley is probably a big blind spot for me. I don't think I've seen any Hal Hartley. Unless there's something that's,
you got Criterion, right?
Yeah, I do.
So come on, bro.
Might have to dig in. Jason, tell people what's going on with Awesome Movie Year and where they can find you.
Awesome Movie Year, Dave, is where by the time this comes out, we will be pretty much done with our 1939 season, which I think was a really good season. And, you know, and Dave, you picked our next season, which we have started recording. That's the year 2000.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting so far. Some good, some not as good. But we'll see how that one takes us. As for me, still acting in BattleBots, doing a ton of comedy around town. Eat This Comedy is coming back. Honey Salt, April 21st. You get dinner, you get a show, all in one ticket price. And I'll be at the Netflix Is a Joke Fest performing at least right now on May 3rd. And I think more dates to be added.
Right on. So everybody check all that out. And Jason, we'll get you back on again soon.
Go for Jason on Letterboxd, kids.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming out in April. Thanks to Jason Harris for joining me on that one, as always. And thank you to you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, make sure you are subscribed wherever it is that you're listening, and maybe drop us a little 5-star rating or review. That would be very helpful if you did that. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. And don't forget, we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. There's a bunch of early access episodes of Piecing It Together on there right now. And I have exclusively been posting some video versions of some of the episodes on there. So you can only get that on the Patreon. I love that you're out there listening, and please keep on listening and all the regular ways that you can listen. But if you want to support the show and check out the bonus content, you could do that at patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And, you know, your support is very much appreciated. So I always close these out with a piece of music, and actually, the day that this goes up, April 5th, is also the day that I will be doing a live album listening party for the new The Pup Pups album, Variety Snaps, my comedy novelty album of songs about my dogs and cats. That is happening at thepuppups.bandcamp.com at 6 p.m. Pacific time. I will be telling stories, chatting with people who want to listen to the Pup Pups with us. I'll also be doing a live stream with my buddy Chad Clinton Freeman on his Ham Show on YouTube. So a whole bunch of Pup Pup stuff going on tonight at the time that this goes up. So if you're listening to this on the 5th, tune in tonight to the album listening party. Next week on the show, there will be a album length commentary as a special bonus episode, and a lot more. But let's close this out with a piece of music from that album, The song I'm going to play is one about my boy Harvey. It's called He's Doing Great. This is again from the new The Pup Pups album, Variety Snaps, which is going to be out on April 11th. There's a limited edition CD you could order. You could check out the listening party tonight. If you love pets, you'll probably love this album. So check it out. Hope you enjoy this song. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
Heart condition, lots of pills. Sneak them in his kibble during every meal. One day it'll happen, it is everyone's fate. But for now, he's doing great. He's doing great. If I told you all my ailments, you'd think I was bluffing. One day it'll happen, it is everyone's fate. But for now, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Episodes are really scary. When you're near the edge of the couch, sometimes that's also scary. Honestly, every day is just a little bit scary. One day it'll happen, it is everyone's fate. But for now, he's doing great. He's doing everyone's fate, but for now, I'm doing great. He's doing great. I'm doing great. He's doing great. I'm doing great.
An All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.